VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk on the VCY American Network, as today we talk about the critical matter of prayer. Today is the National Day of Prayer, the Declaration of Independence, our first statement as Americans of national purpose and identity, made the laws of nature and of nature's God the foundation of our United States of America. The Declaration further asserted that people have inalienable rights that are God-given. These rights are not conferred by civil government, whose express task is to secure these inalienable rights. 15 years later, the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution gave a preeminent place to the right of free exercise of religion and to protecting that right by prohibiting any congressional law respecting the establishment of religion. Well, the concept of setting aside time to pray for the nation and its leaders originated with America's founding fathers. It was the first Continental Congress which initially declared a National Day of Prayer in 1775, establishing a long-standing tradition. In 1863, President Abraham Lincoln signed a proclamation which designated April 30th of that year as a day of national humiliation, fasting, and prayer. The proclamation began, "Whereas the Senate of the United States, devoutly recognizing the supreme authority and just government of Almighty God in all the affairs of men and nations, has by a resolution requested the President to designate and set apart a day for national prayer and humiliation." The proclamation continues, "And I do hereby request that all the people to abstain on that day from their ordinary secular pursuits and to unite at their several places of public worship and their respective homes in keeping the day holy to the Lord and devoted to the humble discharge of the religious duties proper to the solemn occasion." Such national observances became more formal and regular on April 17, 1952, when Congress unanimously passed by a joint resolution signed by President Harry Truman establishing the annual National Day of Prayer by federal law. Public Law 82-324 declared that a National Day of Prayer would be held on a suitable day each year other than a Sunday. In 1988, the United States Senate and House of Representatives amended the 1952 law by passing Public Law 100-307 to provide for setting aside the first Thursday in May as the day on which the National Day of Prayer is celebrated. That act was signed by President Ronald Reagan. And so that continues year after year, and even within the last 24 hours, a proclamation came forth from President Donald Trump on the National Day of Prayer for 2020, and I'd like to share that with you today. In his proclamation, he says, "On this National Day of Prayer, Americans reaffirm that prayer guides and strengthens our nation, and we express with humility and gratitude our firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. As one nation under God, we share a legacy of faith that sustains and inspires us and a heritage of religious freedom. Today we join together and lift up our hearts, remembering the words of 1 John 5:14 that tell us when we ask something according to His will, He hears us. From our earliest days, our dependence upon God has brought us to seek His divine counsel and unfailing wisdom. Our leaders have often encouraged their fellow citizens to seek wisdom from God and have recognized God's power to lead our nation ahead to brighter days. When the prospects for our independence seemed bleak, General George Washington proclaimed a national day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer, humbly to supplicate the mercy of Almighty God. Following the devastating destruction of the Civil War, President Lincoln delivered his second inaugural address and invoked the power of prayer to bind up the nation's wounds. And more than 100 years later, President Reagan noted our long reliance on prayer throughout our history, writing that through the storms of revolution, civil war, and the great world wars, as well as during times of disillusionment and disarray, the nation has turned to God in prayer for deliverance. Today, as much as ever, our prayerful tradition continues as our nation combats the coronavirus. During the past weeks and months, our heads have bowed at places outside of our typical houses of worship, whispering in silent solitude for God to renew our spirit and carry us through unforeseen and seemingly unbearable hardships. Even though we've been unable to gather together in fellowship with our church families, we are still connected through prayer and the calming reassurance that God will lead us through life's many valleys. In the midst of these trying and unprecedented times, we are reminded that just as those before us turned to God in their darkest hours, so must we seek His wisdom, strength, and healing hand. We pray that He comforts those who have lost loved ones, heals those who are sick, strengthens those on the front lines, and reassures all Americans that through trust in Him, we can overcome all obstacles. May we never forget that prayer guides and empowers our nation and that all things are possible with God. In times of prosperity, strife, peace, and war, Americans lean on His infinite love, grace, and understanding. Today, on this National Day of Prayer, let us come together and pray to the Almighty that through overcoming this coronavirus pandemic, we develop even greater faith in His divine providence. In 1988, the Congress, by Public Law 100-307, as amended, called on the President to issue each year a proclamation designating the first Thursday in May as National Day of Prayer, on which the people of the United States may turn to God in prayer and meditation at churches and groups and as individuals. Now, therefore, I, Donald J. Trump, President of the United States, do hereby proclaim May 7th, 2020, as a National Day of Prayer. I encourage all Americans to observe this day, reflecting on the blessings our nation has received and the importance of prayer with appropriate programs, ceremonies, and activities in their houses of worship, communities, and places of work, schools, and homes consistent with the White House's guidance for opening up America again. In witness whereof, I have hereto set my hand the 6th day of May in the year of our Lord, 2020, and of the independence of the United States of America, 244th, signed Donald J. Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's ever a time for prayer in our nation, it's now. When you look at all that's happened to our nation within just the past few months, we're living in times we've never seen before. Oh, there may have been pandemics, but to the extent of the response, the lockdowns, the closing of churches, the threatening of pastors, the shutting down of society, it's been unprecedented for all of us. If our hope lied in our economy, in investments and 401ks, that's vanished. If our hope lied in the climbing the corporate ladder, it's been shattered for many. If our hope lied in all the pleasures of the world, the concerts, the sports, the festivals, they're gone. Our hope is and must only be upon the Lord. A few verses I'd like to share with you from scriptures from Psalm 31, verse 14 says, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God." Psalm 56, 11 said, "In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me." Psalm 62, verse 8, "Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Psalm 71, verse 5, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth." Psalm 73, verse 28 says, "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." And Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation." Certainly in these times, we look at the importance of prayer. And if ever there's a time for prayer, ladies and gentlemen, that time is now here in our nation. We are seeing things we've never seen before in our lifetime, and we examine all that's taking place, and the rapid pace at which it has occurred as well has been breathtaking for many. But friends, it is more than just calling upon our nation to pray. It is also calling upon us as individuals. Some time ago, The Perspective, and I'm not sure if it was a magazine or a newsletter, but there was a very interesting column that had been copied and sent to me. Couldn't even tell you the date. Can't tell you the author, but they report this. Early in the school prayer debate, a senator was asked to speak at the annual men's banquet in a local church. During dinner, the subject of school prayer precipitated heated discussion. When the senator was introduced, he said, "Before I speak, I'd like to ask two questions. First, how many of you believe that we should have prayer in the schools?" Well, as far as the senator could tell, every man raised his hand. Second question, how many of you pray each day with your children at home? Very few hands went up. What is it that with us when we demand and expect conduct from secular institutions which we fail to maintain in the church? And we fail to maintain this in the home, prayer in the schools daily, rarely, if ever, though, in the home. For what matter, how is a midweek service prayer meeting doing in your church? When your church meets, of course, there are many who are not meeting in public at this time, but how is the midweek prayer meeting? How about love, or does your church even have a prayer meeting? How about love for spouse and children, neighbor, one another in church, enemy? Both Jesus and Paul insisted that love fulfilled the law. Where is love among the church members to those outside the church where you live most of your life? How about truth, justice, care for the poor, the prisoner, the needy, the sick? Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Matthew 25:40. That was copied from the perspective. I also found it very interesting that there was a writing called Why Revival Tarries from Leonard Ravenhill. And the headline says this: no Christian is greater than his prayer life. The church has many organizers, but few agonizers. Many who pay, but few who pray. Many resters, but few wrestlers. Many who are enterprising, but few who are interceding. People who are not praying are playing. Two prerequisites of dynamic Christian living are vision and passion, and both of these are generated in the prayer closet. The ministry of preaching is open to a few. The ministry of prayer is open to every child of God. Don't mistake action for unction, commotion for creation, and rattles for revivals. When we pray, God listens to our heartbeat. Hannah's lips move, but her voice was not heard. When we pray in the Spirit, there are groanings which cannot be uttered. Tithes may build a church, but tears will give it life. That is the difference between the modern church and the early church. Our emphasis is on paying, theirs was on praying. When we have paid, the place is taken. When they prayed, the place was shaken. In the matter of effective praying, never have so many left, so much to so few. Brethren, let us pray. Words from Leonard Ravenhill, shared some years ago. And many also are familiar with the writer of Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan. We've run across a few lines on the subject of prayer written by Bunyan. Again, he was the author of Pilgrim's Progress, the world's second bestseller, the Bible being the first, of course. And here is what Bunyan wrote. He wrote this: when thou prayest, rather let thy heart be without words than thy words without thy heart. Prayer will make a man cease from sin, or sin will entice a man to cease from prayer. Prayer is a shield to the soul, a sacrifice to God, and a scourge for Satan. Many of us could pray more than we do. Prayer is exercise for the soul and should be as normal for the spiritual man as breathing is for the physical man. Too many of us cease without praying when we should pray without ceasing. Let us pray fervently, with more heart than words, but with both directed by the Holy Spirit. An article on John Bunyan on prayer. We're going to be taking a quick break here on Crosstalk, and when we come back, I want to share with you one of the great prayers of the Bible, but it's not often viewed as being one of the great prayers. You'll hear what it says after we return. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what can you tell me about those huge flying reptiles?
Chris, some of the flying reptiles were as large as a mid-size aircraft. Some people have wondered how in the world they could have ever flown. As it turns out, they really couldn't fly in today's atmosphere. There's not enough air pressure to keep them up. Creationists have long supposed that the environment before the flood was quite different than now. We suspect that air pressure was quite a bit higher than now, making it more reasonable that these huge creatures could fly. Recently, an engineer built a model of one of these flying reptiles and tried to make it fly. He found that it had many wonderful adaptations to increase the flying ability, but there still wasn't enough air pressure to keep it aloft. To evolutionists, it's a big mystery, but to creationists, we at least have a plausible theory. And we get that by going back to Genesis.
For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Today, our topic, the critical matter of prayer. It's been called for a National Day of Prayer. Friends, we know the important, critical nature of prayer for the Christian life. You've heard some very interesting thoughts that have come from different men who have written on this issue and who lived it through their lives as well. We're going to just take a look at one of the great prayers of the Bible, even on this National Day of Prayer. As so often we implore upon the government to do what we call upon them to have day of prayer, and we need to have prayer in schools. But are we praying in our churches? Are we praying in our homes? Folks, we've got to make it personal. As we look in scriptures and look at prayers of the Bible, we will go to the Lord's Prayer. That's what we call it, or the disciples' prayer. We do see the prayer of Jesus as well, before his crucifixion in John chapter 17, we see other prayers that are made in the Bible. We often will refer to Nehemiah and the many sentence prayers that happened in that book. We certainly will see some of the prayers calling out in Scripture. But there's a great prayer of the Bible in the book of Daniel that I'd like to refer to here this afternoon. From Daniel chapter 9, we find this: "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city of Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication. Cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. A powerful prayer from the heart of Daniel, calling upon his God, confessing sins, the sins of the nation, sins of the people who have turned themselves away from God. And that last verse, so powerful in Daniel chapter 9, verse 19, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Today has been called a National Day of Prayer. And as we open the phone lines today, we'd like to know what your thoughts are on our need to be praying for our nation in such a time as this. Praying for our nation, praying for our churches, praying for our homes, praying for ourselves to walk in obedience with our God. Our phone number to Crosstalk today is 1-800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829. What are your thoughts today on this need to pray for our nation? We're called upon on this National Day of Prayer. And we know as believers in Christ the critical matter of prayer for our lives, for our homes, for our churches, for our nation. Our phone number here today, 800-733-9829, taking your calls from across the nation on this critical, critical matter. Maybe convicting. It may be that we're not spending time in prayer, and so we don't want to call, don't want to comment on these issues. Friends, the critical matter of prayer is ever before us. Has the coronavirus itself caused you to turn your heart toward God, to seek His face, to recognize that all these idols that have been set up in this world are all of a sudden cast away? All the things that we put our hope in, all the things we put our trust in? Your thoughts on this National Day of Prayer. Our telephone number is 800-733-9829. We've got some open lines. Deborah is calling from Milwaukee. Deborah, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I know I'm talking to the choir, but in my opinion, this country is being cursed. It's one of the reasons it's being cursed is for the sin of homosexuality. I knew when legalized homosexual marriage was legalized on June 26, 2015, it was only a matter of time. I never thought the judgment would be this hard. We abort, we divorce, we live together before marriage, fornication, head pornography, and this is God bless America. We need to pray for America. We need to make reparation, and I think homosexuality, our embrace of homosexuality is one of the reasons we're being cursed. So please pray for America. Those of us who are Catholics, there are prayers we can say to the Virgin Mary and the saints to end this pestilence, and that's all I have to say. Thank you so much.
Okay, well, you had to say that, Deborah, but that's not what the Bible teaches here in your final comment. We do not pray to the saints. We do not pray to the Virgin Mary. We pray directly to God the Father through the intercessor, Jesus Christ, His Son. That's what the Scripture tells us, and that's what we want to follow. There's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Richard is calling from Grand Junction, Colorado, and Richard, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having a great show today, and that prayer from Daniel 9 is absolutely spot on, exactly what our nation needs. I'm reading a book right now written in 2004 called The Great Influenza of 1918-19, and I was truly shocked by what took place during that 18-month period in which about 80 million people died worldwide, not to minimize the coronavirus at all, but does God use pestilence and things like this to get the people of His name, get their attention, have them to take seriously our responsibility? I think the answer is obvious. God bless America only as America blesses God once again. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for your call. 800-733-9829. I'd like to hear from some pastors today as well. Tim, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi there, first-time caller, 25-30-year listener. Appreciate your ministry.
Thank you, Tim.
You know, the first caller mentioned about, you know, the sins of the nation. And I'd just like to remind the preaching of the choir that the church itself is the one, 2 Chronicles 7:14, His people. We need to be the one that calls upon Him as far as creating us a clean heart, renewing us the right spirit. We need to make sure we're clean so that we can go to Him as a individual, but as a group, as a local assembly, and then there's promises behind that as far as hear from heaven, forgive, and heal. But I personally think it's really a matter of the churches that have sinned against God.
Yeah, you know, Tim, we talk about preaching to the choir, but you know what? The choir needs this message, don't they?
Right, right. And so, and hopefully God will deal with us so that we ourselves, not the nation, God will heal our nation if the church does what they need to do. Hmm. Pastors need to be clean, and the members need to be clean.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate your comments. We've got Jessica next in Girard, Kansas. You're on the air.
I think during this time, there's a lot more time for people to be able to pray since there's not a lot on people's schedules.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that there's not a lot of people taking advantage of that.
Right. Yeah. Jessica, you sound like a young person. Do you mind sharing your age with us?
I'd rather not.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jessica, for your thoughts here today. Annalise is calling from Toledo, Oregon. You're on the air.
Thank you. I am so glad you have this day of prayer that we can all come together with the idea of honoring God in prayer and the concern of our nation. I was so grateful that you repeated the words of Donald Trump because there's such ambiguity and often unjustified hostility toward him. It's always wonderful to hear him speak so much on the part of God and Christ and for our nation. I think that, in the coronavirus time, I was able to speak to people about God and about our nation. In fact, I had a ride home by a taxi cab driver from hospital for emergency. And for an hour and a half while I was in the taxi cab getting home, I could speak about the Bible and quote from particular passages that we should be praying. It really set him with the idea of starting to look at the Bible and prayer. I take the prayer of Nehemiah 9 as well as Daniel 9, and I changed this a number of years ago when I saw the country looking like it was really going in a dangerous direction against its own sovereignty, against its own spirituality, against its own people. But I changed the names of cities to be more concurrent with our time. Hmm. The words of Daniel are still powerful, are still relevant, are still apropos, and we should pray that prayer of Daniel. I mean, he gave all wisdom and knowledge to God, but that he thanked God that he, Daniel, was given that wisdom and knowledge in his time. We are not the church that needs to worry. We are the individuals that need to individually be the church. Not a building, not a gathering, but each person should be praying and praying in earnest for this country, for themselves, for their neighbors, for those who suffer in other places. We should be in prayer for a time where we know there is much grief and suffering and much sin that needs to be corrected. And this is our privilege to be in this time when we can do this and hear these wonderful prayers of other people that we know are doing this. And for you, Jim Schneider, I am so grateful. You are our great voice through the broadcasting of your program.
God bless you, Annalise. Thank you for the phone call here today on Crosstalk. We're up against a break, and we so appreciate the many that are praying for us here at VCY America. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk right here on VCY. James 4:14 poses this thought: "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Have you ever stopped to consider where you will spend eternity? You may say, "But I'm a good person. I care for my family. I feed the poor. I stand up for life and traditional values." While all of these things are good, they fall far short of God's standard. Every one of us has a sin issue that must be dealt with. Our sin separates us from God, and each of us deserves to be eternally removed from God in everlasting punishment. But out of God's great love, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to bear our sins, shed His blood, die on the cross, and rise again. He is the only way of salvation, and it's imperative for you to place your trust in Him. If you're wrestling with this issue, we'd like to send you a complimentary leaflet, Where Will You Spend Eternity? To receive a copy, just ask for it when you call us at 1-800-729-9829. 800-729-9829. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Our topic today, the critical matter of prayer. Going back to the phone lines, we have Roy Na calling in from Arizona. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. I just want to say clearly that Jesus is our hope, and he's our only hope.
Yes.
And I pray for VCY and for you and for Dalton and for Crosstalk every day.
Thank you.
I don't forget, and I think about the responsibility that you have of keeping all the stations going, and someday I'm going to get to meet you, but it'll probably be up in glory.
Amen.
And so just hang in there, brother, and I love Crosstalk. I listen and listen and listen.
God bless you. Thank you so much for calling today. You're an encouragement to us.
I'm going to keep on praying. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye-bye now. Daryl in Flemingsburg, Kentucky, you're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon. My comments is concerning prayer. You know, the Bible is full of it from lid to lid.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't believe whenever they decided to shut the churches down that it was the churches per se. I believe that Satan is so afraid of the most powerful tool that a Christian has, which is prayer. It's more powerful than anything known to us, and Satan realizes that. And when you have Christians in different parts of the United States and around the world at three different times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening, mid-service week prayer, you've got all these Christians praying, talking to God about the situation that the world and the United States is in. And Satan can't stand the name of Jesus Christ, and he can't stand prayer. And I believe that it's the most powerful thing that a Christian has is the prayers that goes up before and ascends up before the throne of God. He hears them,
yeah,
and he answers them. And we need, no matter what, and I believe that they thought by closing the churches, they would close down the prayer, and did they get a fooling? And it's going to keep right on, and I urge people to pray more than they ever prayed before about the situation that we're in. And another thing I want to say, brother, is I got the four consecutive DVDs of Thief in the Night, and I urge anybody that's listening to take those if they have them, if they don't, to get them and share them with their family and their friends that are not saved. It's going to make a big difference when they see that. But we'll keep praying for you. You pray for us, and we'll keep Satan on the run, and we'll keep these people that don't realize that there's nothing more powerful than a prayer going up before God from a righteous person.
Amen.
Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you for the call. And that's what Scripture says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I think it was Peter Dynica from the founder of Slavic Gospel Association, the mission, that said, much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. Denise is calling in from Somerset, Kentucky. You're on the air.
Yeah, they said that this this prayer was supposed to focus on the glory of the Lord going all over the whole world as the waters cover the sea. And I've been reading in Jeremiah 6, 7, you know, how the people said, peace, peace, where there was no peace. And God said, stand in the way and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not. So he set watchmen blowing the trumpet. And it goes on, you know, with the different trusting and lying words, judgment on obscenity, peril of false teaching, and the prophet mourns for the people mourn in judgment. So that's where we're at right now, pretty much. But it thus saith the Lord in chapter 10 or 9. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Denise, for sharing that from the prophet Jeremiah. We're going next to Los Alamos, New Mexico. Barb, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. Back in the, I think it was in the 1980s, there was a Christian organization, and I can't remember the name of it, but they started something called a Strategic Prayer Initiative, and it was for the Soviet Union. And they would mail you a sheet that had a picture of all of the leaders and bureaucrats in the Soviet Union, and what they wanted you to do was just pick one and pray for his salvation. And I thought that was so cool, and it was so effective. And I wish we could do something like that for our own country, but it probably wouldn't be very feasible because we have such a huge bureaucracy. Mm. But I wish there we could just really pray for salvation for those in authority over us.
Well,
that's all I wanted to
thank
say.
Thank you, Barb, and please do that. I mean, do exactly that. So you write down those leaders that are over, you know, your political leaders with your president and the vice president, the attorney general. You can pray for the members of the United States Supreme Court. You can be praying for your governor, be praying for your U.S. senators, your congressmen, your local leaders that you have, your state house and state senate. You know, so you make a list of those that are directly in your pathway of representation and commit them regularly in prayer, even if you take a couple every single day. But compose your list, and every listener can do that as well.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Bridgeport, West Virginia. Al, go ahead. You're on the air.
Brother Jim, I appreciate you taking my call. The shows you've had this week captivated. Just everything's been amazing. Every day needs to be a national day of prayer, my brother. Just get with him. He says, get in the place by yourself, just with him. You don't have to be in front of folks. Just be with him and just talk to him like I'm talking to you.
Right.
Doesn't have to be formal. It's got to come from the heart. Just like your beginning, I guess I'll call it the monologue at the beginning of the show. If it's not coming from your heart, it's just words, it doesn't mean a whole lot.
Right.
Just prayer is powerful. It works. It's the last several callers you've had have been wonderful. They've really touched on some topics. And we just make America godly again. That's what we got to do, brother.
Amen.
Just got to lift it up to Jesus. He's the only way. The only way.
Amen. God bless you, Al. Thanks for the call. It's recorded in Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We're going next to Michigan. We have Gene calling. Hi, Gene.
Yeah, thank you, Jim, for taking my call. And, you know, like the Lord says, in perilous times, latter days will be perilous times. And I think that's what we're going through with this COVID virus and so on. People got to pray, and I mean, pray hard for the country too, for our leaders and everybody, and including VCY and your staff.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Gene. Connie is next in Hales Corners, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. I would like to ask every person that's listening to Crosstalk today, would they be willing on this National Day of Prayer to give up something to show our Lord God how serious they are? Turn their televisions off from watching secular TV. Turn Netflix off. Don't play video games. If possible, health-wise, if you not to eat today and just drink. I know sometimes people can't do that because of their health. But in some way, every single person can give up something today to show the Lord in fasting and prayer that they're serious about their prayer requests and that God will heal this land by their sacrifices that they're really willing to make. Mm. And I just thank you for your program, Jim.
Thank you, Connie. Tim is calling from Mitchell, South Dakota. You're on the air, Tim.
Hello. I want to pray for my country. I always think of 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Mm-hmm.
If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, I will heal their city and save their land.
Mm. Amen. There is much to that here, Tim. Thank you for the call here regarding that verse. And we often stop at that verse, but you need to go further in that passage as well, starting at verse 19. But it says, "But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passes by it, that he shall say, Why hath the Lord done this unto this land and unto this house? And he shall be answered, Because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them, and therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them." Certainly that is reference to Israel, this passage. I believe there's application we can learn from this as well. We have some open lines here at 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Your thoughts on this National Day of Prayer. Colleen is calling in from Venice, Florida. Colleen, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to say, I think it's abundantly clear to everyone that America is in desperate need. I think we are really at a crossroads right now, so we all know our need to pray. I just wanted to make a suggestion for a little thing that I stumbled upon, because I think one of the enemy's powerful tools is distraction. And with all of this crushing stuff going on around us, it's hard sometimes to focus and pray. So I set my alarm for a daily prayer time, which I'll commit to 3 minutes a day. It doesn't have to be that. It can be more, can be less, but even just the bare minimum, 3 minutes a day. Set your phone alarm, because they're just great. It'll go off and remind you. They say it takes 21 days to create a habit. I have kept this on my phone, and I will say there are times that I'm busy, I can't do it at that moment, but I'm reminded, oh, didn't do that yet today. Hmm. Because as much as we have good intentions, it's just easy to get caught up in all the distraction and busyness, and another day has gone by and you forget.
Thank
but
you,
if you have a divine appointment every day, you're more likely to do it.
Thank you, Colleen. So,
thank you.
Appreciate your sharing.
Thanks for your show. Mm-hmm. Love it.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Pastor Dale in Sparta, Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you, Brother Jim. Pastor Dale Walker, president of the Tennessee Pastors Network. You know, Brother Jim left the Planned Parenthood in Knoxville, Tennessee. Me and another minister went out, and we prayed, and we stood in front of Planned Parenthood. And I pray as a pastor and as a group of pastors. We're part of the American Pastors Network, with which you have Brother Sam Royer on many times. Does an excellent job. We must pray that pastors are willing to engage and preach a biblical worldview from the pulpit and engage the culture that we're living in with a biblical worldview to wake up the people. And I pray that will happen. And I'm seeing a bit of that happen with pastors that are becoming more concerned about what is happening. But we must wake up the pulpit and get the pulpit to where they will engage the issues and call the people to live in right and live in holy and praying about truly what is going on and getting outside the church. Unfortunately, many churches, their influence doesn't go beyond their church parking lot.
Yeah.
We got to get beyond that. God
Amen.
Bless you, Brother Jim.
Amen. Thank you for the call. Thank you, brother. That was Pastor Dale, Sparta, Tennessee. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back to more of your phone calls here on Crosstalk. Our number 800-733-9829. Today we're discussing the critical matter of prayer. Back in just a minute.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. The globalists cannot let a good crisis go to waste. They also are committed to the long-term goals and objectives of their worldview. Remember the Club of Rome? Well, in 1972, they put out a book, 1972, called The Limits to Growth. It was based on an MIT model, and it was about population control. Well, guess what they did last year, 2019? They released a book called Planetary Emergency Plan. Wow. September 2019, they put out a book called Planetary Emergency Plan. Yep. And it was all about the green agenda and population control. And they talked about 2020 being the year of the super year, quote, super year of 2020, and that it would be 12 critical months for the people, nature, and climate. How did they know this? Many of these groups had their plans ready to go. That's why they're responding to the pandemic as they are.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Our topic today, the critical matter of prayer. And we're going right back to the phone lines to Pewaukee, Wisconsin. David, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, when I look at what's going on, I mean, for the first time in the history of this country, at Easter, all of the churches were closed. And when I've gone to a lot of evangelical churches, and I have to say I'm really pretty disappointed with what I see going on. I mean, there's long periods of music, preaching, but prayer is such a short part of every service that it's conspicuous by its absence. And I think it's interesting that with the churches being shut down, the one thing that believers can still do is pray, but they can't rely on their messages anymore. They can't rely on their people in front of the congregation singing anymore, but they can still gather for prayer. And the question I have is, I wonder how many people who are doing virtual church are still sitting in front of their screens waiting to get fed from the screen in front of them instead of getting before God and realize that the reason that these churches are shutting down is maybe God saying, well, you know, the most important thing happening inside these buildings is not happening, and that's prayer. They can still do it alone, but they don't need their buildings to do this.
David, thanks for those thoughts today. I'm sure it's going to be thought-provoking for many. Thank you. We've got Joan calling in, Waukesha, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to encourage people. We are hearing in some cases that God is moving at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And in my family, I've seen two men with hardened hearts, one in his 80s, one in his 90s, whose hearts have been turned during this time,
Praise the Lord.
They're starting to watch church online. So I just wanted to encourage everybody, think of those in your family that perhaps you thought it was a lost cause. Think of them, pray for them, and believe that God is moving in this time.
Amen. Thank you, Joan. Good thoughts.
Thank you.
Tim is next in Minnesota. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to thank you, Jim, for stepping on my toes today. I needed it. Very, very good timing on what you said. You shared that excerpt of the senator asking those two questions of a prayer in schools, and then do you pray with your children? And I have to admit quite humbly that I have not been doing that. I pray for my children privately and then with my wife, but I actually have not gotten into a habit of praying with my children. And so I thank you for that. I'm going to actually start doing that right now, as soon as I get home from the job here. But I also wanted to know, if it's not asking too much, would it be possible for you, upon the close of this hour, if you would lead us in prayer on this National Day of Prayer?
Tim, as a matter of fact, that was in my notes to do today, so your timing is
wonderful.
Perfect. Thank you for the call.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye now. Let's go to Richard in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. You're on the air, Richard.
No, thanks, Jim. I just wanted to mention Acts 9:6, where Saul said, ask the Lord, what will you have me to do? Have me to do, and that I would consider an excellent model prayer.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, Lord, what would you have me do? Very good. Jerry in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, I just want to encourage people with Luke 18, how the unjust judge and the widow kept coming to him and continually coming. And it says for us to cry, who that cries night and day unto the Lord, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, the scripture says, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith? We need to come to him continually, even if it looks like he ain't answered our prayer. We need to keep coming to him, keep searching him, because he is still in control, and he's coming back one day. And if you got sin in your life, Christians, confess it. Be ready, for the Son of Man draws nigh.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jerry. And our final call is from Nashville, Tennessee. And Brenda, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Oh, what a show. What a show. Thank you. Thank you. Real quick,
prayer is our first line of defense. And if you have any military experience at all, you know what defense is. Mm-hmm. But thank you for the content and your thoughts. And I want to encourage you also, the scripture said, give honor to whom honor is due. And as Christians, we do honor our Lord. But I honor you for all that you do, and I love the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brenda, for your thoughts and for listening here. Appreciate it so much. And to all of you calling in on the broadcast today, I'm confident we could go for hours on end with your thoughts on this matter of prayer. But friends, it's critical that we do this, and not just to declare this of our nation. Nation, why aren't you praying? Or judges, why have you turned this away in our schools? Are we doing it in our churches? Are we doing it in our homes? Are we doing it in our personal walk with the Lord? It is so very, very critical to engage in prayer. Scripture says to pray without ceasing. That is, we're constantly, and Nehemiah is such a great example of that, who gave those many sentence prayers that we see throughout the book of Nehemiah. Let us close today's program in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we give you praise, Father, for the salvation that we have available through him. We thank you, Father, for the fact that you love this world so much that you gave us your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we thank you for this gift of salvation. Father, we're grieved for our nation right now. We're grieved for the direction that we've gone in so many cases. We acknowledge the sin of abortion, the sin of immorality that is so rampant in our society today. Father, forgive us as a people, as a land in that regard. And we pray for those who lead this nation, our president and vice president, his cabinet members. We pray for the members of the Supreme Court, the members of the Congress and the House and Senate. And Lord, for our local government as well, our governors and state representatives, Lord, that you would guide them. Help them to realize their own personal sinfulness and their need to turn to you. Help them to recognize their accountability before you and the decisions that they make. Help them, Father, to put the best interest of the nation ahead of their own personal political interest. Help them to recognize that the decisions they make must be based upon biblical truth and the biblical principles that we have from your word. And so, Father, we pray that many would be turned to the Savior, even during this time as a nation. We pray, Father, for this pandemic, that it would pass, and, Father, that we would grow in our faith even as a result of these difficult times. We pray, Father, for your guidance. We pray for your healing. We pray, Father, for our pastors. Help them to be courageous in standing up for the biblical truth. Help them to stand on the authority of your word as it's proclaimed from the pulpit. Father, we thank you for being a God who loves us, who cares for us, and has given this avenue of prayer. Lord, guide us, we pray. We need wisdom from above, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk as we talked about the critical matter of prayer. May God richly bless you.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.